I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I witnessed that blessing, I thought about the theme of this sermon, where did we come from and where are we going? We came from God. God created us. And where are we going? We ask God that he would bless this child, that this child would choose him, God, and eventually have eternal life. That is our hope, and that's our hope for us. I'm going to start out reading in the second book of Nephi, chapter 1, beginning in verse 95. And this is an explanation of Lehi to his sons of this plan of life. Where did we come from? And where are we going to? For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon. Choices. And to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and in fine all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition, even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore, the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself the freedom to choose. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other, by good or evil. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And after that Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. So because of that, you and I exist. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Gave us this opportunity, this time period, to repent. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. And he gave commandment that all men must repent. For he shewed unto all men that they were lost, and because of the transgression of their parents. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, that opposition. Having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. God's wisdom. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. God planned and purposed for us to have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. We have everything we need to be able to do the will of God. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. God seeks that we might have joy. The devil seeks that we might have misery. A review of this scripture that we just read. God created all things, including us, to bring about his eternal purposes, to please him, but also that we might have joy. We are enticed both by good and evil. The devil, being miserable forever, seeks the misery of all mankind. The devil is the father of lies. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were kicked out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. They had to start working. They brought forth children, and because of that, you and I exist. And a period of time was given unto us, men and women, to repent while in the flesh, a state of probation. All men are lost because of the fall of Adam, and Christ came to redeem us from the fall. Because we are redeemed from the fall, we have become free forever, knowing good and evil, to act for ourselves and not to be acted upon. We're free to choose liberty and eternal life, or choose captivity and death. Alma chapter 16, beginning in verse 230, says, "For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when you are brought at that to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world." That's a strong promise, and the importance of repenting while in this life. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him," being Jesus, "a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, and to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." I'm reading this scripture because if this be the case, this promise that the spirit that possesses our body when we leave this life is the one that will possess us in the eternal world, what then should we do? And this is the answer, the great commandment given to us by Jesus. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I'm not going to go through them, but you read the commandments of old, And thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if our focuses on Christ and loving him and loving our neighbor with that same love that Christ has loved us, we're not going to commit those sins. We won't be disobedient to those commandments. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Remember, choose liberty. We've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use that freedom, that opportunity to choose to do my will. I should not choose what I want to do, but rather what God wants me to do. I should choose his will. That is true liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, or in other words, my will, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, in other words, if I'm thinking about myself and somebody says something and it hurts me and I hurt and I want to respond, that's biting. My desire is to bite and devour, is to speak against, is to be angry. And this says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And ye will. If ye bite and devour one another, ye will be consumed one another. You will sin. And if that person is in that same spirit, they will sin. And you will consume one another. You will hurt and kill one another spiritually. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Once again, if we love God with all our might, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we are not under the law, because we're fulfilling the love of Christ, which fulfills the law. We're living the love of Christ, which fulfills the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things that we're tempted to do because of the flesh, because we live on this earth, because we have temptation. These are the things we're tempted to do that we should not do, the things of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And we're going to go over that definition a little later. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to take time to go through some of these definitions, but it is beneficial, because often I've been surprised by some of the definitions and some of the temptations that I have that relate to them. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are the things that should be going through our mind, the thoughts when we're tempted by these other things. These are the things we should replace those temptations with. Love. Thinking of Christ when he was on the cross and he asked forgiveness of those who had just murdered him. Not easy to do. He was tempted like we are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, against any of these, there's no law against any of these things. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we've been given that Spirit of God, let's use it to allow it to guide us when we're tempted to do wrong. Instead, let that Spirit of God guide us to do right. Let it entice us and let us obey it. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let's not think of ourselves and giving honor and glory to ourselves, provoking one another, envying one another. But let's think about glorifying God and pleasing Him. Galatians 5, just a little review of it. If I walk after the flesh, I do what I want to do to please myself. If I walk after the Spirit, I do what God wants me to do to please Him. I'm fulfilling His eternal purposes, and He gives me joy. I have a parable that I'd like to read. This parable was given by God to Apostle Placido Coyo Guillam in Yobayin, Yucatan, Mexico, on the 13th of August, 1999. The parable, and these are his statements, the parable that can change your life, born of thoughts when thinking of you. A parable that came to mind as if someone was, came to his mind as if someone was dictating it. God just gave it to him, and he wrote it down. It's called The Rebellion of Two Young People. In a village, a lovely family with the last name Valencia had two sons. The oldest was named Fernando Valencia, and the younger, Virginio Valencia. They looked like their father, and both of them had a birthmark on their faces near their mouths, just like their father. Each one had their own room to sleep in, for their father had a great grand ranch and filled with cattle, horses, sheep, workers, and servants. Their father was a man of law and regulations. There was a timetable for working in his home and on his ranch. Everyone worked 8 hours daily. When anyone had a birthday, their father made a splendid banquet for all. In this way, none lacked for work, food, clothing, and rest. Everyone was happy. However, one day, the older son, Fernando, and his younger son, Virginio, began talking about how their father made them work. In the first place, his laws were very hard, and he is very demanding in all things. And the time schedule of working 8 hours a day is going to kill us. This is the life of slavery that will never end. What we need is freedom. If we want, we can separate ourselves from this happy, unhappy life. We are young, free men, and no one can force us to continue this great slavery. He is a father without love, without comprehension, a slaver in everything, and too demanding also. After this talk, they decided to leave home for work. One beautiful morning, when the dawn began to show and the birds began to sing, Fernando awoke and said to his brother, Virginio, today we must carry out what we agreed upon. Let's go before anyone sees us. They each put a change of clothes in their knapsacks, and on their way out, Virginio saw an envelope on the table, and put it in his pack, and then remembered also to write a note which said the following. We want you to know that we want you to know what we are thinking. We are leaving in a search for our liberty. Here we are slaves all the time. Adios. When the parents saw the message, they cried for the loss of their sons. But the sons left happy in search of freedom. After a day of hard walking, when the crickets had begun to sing, they arrived in an old ranch. They spoke with the owner, asking if there was any work. "There's enough work for the rest of your lives," responded the owner. Fernando asked, "What are the conditions of employment?" The boss said, "On my ranch, there are not any rules for work. Everyone is free to work the hours they desire." The young men were very happy and told him, "This is what we want, liberty. Today we have found something better in our lives. This is a good boss." A little later, he showed them the place they would sleep. It was an old, dirty storeroom filled with tools and food for chickens, cows, horses, goats, and the walls were full of cobwebs and cockroaches. The owner said, "Here you have a good place to sleep." The young men looked at him and then the storeroom, because they had known a good place to sleep. With pain in their hearts, they entered and were almost not able to sleep that night because it was the first night and it was a dirty place and it really smelled. On the next morning, they awoke at 8 o'clock and were very hungry. They went to ask the boss when breakfast was served, and he told them, "I have told you, here there is liberty. The cooks at times get up early and at times late. They are free. Sometimes they don't make breakfast, only lunch. When they have time and when they want, they prepare 3 meals. But you can go to the kitchen if you want to." They went immediately to the kitchen, but then the cooks served old dried food from a day or two before and on dirty plates. They were surprised, thinking they would be served broiled chicken. Hunger was consuming them, so they had to eat it. After they went to their work, they returned in the evening and there was no bath. They went to the kitchen, but it was already closed. Tired and unhappy, they returned to the storeroom. The next day, they awoke early and drank only water and left for the job. Time passed like this. One day, they arrived where they had begun a job. There, doing that same job, was another laborer. Fernando said, "Why are you doing our job? It is our job. This is not right." The man became infuriated and began to hit him. When Virginio saw that his brother was on the ground, he hit the other man. However, other workers came and beat them. They were badly hurt, but were able to escape with difficulty. Right away, they went to tell the owner what happened, but the owner told them, "I cannot do anything because here there is freedom. Everyone is free to solve their own problems in any manner they can. I want to show you something that you have not seen." He took them outside the borders of the ranch. When they arrived, he showed them the graves of the people that were killed and buried beneath the trees. The graves surrounded the ranch, and there were new ones. Only a little lacked until the entire ranch would be surrounded. The owner said, "This is how the people around here solve their problems. You have been saved and should already have been buried here." After hearing this, the young men began to cry, and their countenances fell. This day, they did not feel hungry returning to the storeroom. Fernando laid down for a moment. Virginio sat down on a rock, sad and worrying. Suddenly, he remembered the letter that he had picked up and put in his pack the day he left his old home. He went and retrieved the letter and began removing its contents. First, he found a photograph of his parents when they were young. He removed another that was a recent one of them, taken by their father. He placed the two together and saw the appearance of his father was similar to theirs, and that beside each mouth was a birthmark. He knew that in truth it was a wonderful family. After this, he removed another and saw the rooms where they slept and the clean, beautiful dining room where their mother served meals. Finally, he removed the last photo, and it was his father's ranch, looking like the Garden of Eden, clean, everything in order. After thinking about the photos, he thought, "Where have I come from? And where am I going to?" Fernando was looking at his sad brother, and he said, "What are you looking at, Virginio?" He answered in a sad voice, "Come and see." He drew near, and Virginio showed him the photos. "I have a question," said Virginio. "From where have we come? And where are we going to? I believe I have the answer. We have come from a wonderful family, and we are going to our death." The throat of Virginio almost closed when he finished saying this. Together they lamented for an hour for having committed a grave error in their lives. After weeping bitter tears, they promised to love and obey the laws and rules of life. Fernando said, "Truly, our father is a prudent man. There is no other man good and honorable as our father, and there is no other place where love and cleanliness reigns. To work 8 hours a day is fair. Exhortation, reprimand, and discipline are life and health for all human beings. Now let us return to the house of our father and request forgiveness of our parents. We will return to our family, and there we will have happiness and a better life." Virginio responded, "I am afraid and ashamed. Perhaps our parents won't receive us or will punish us and throw us out." Fernando said, "We must be ready to receive punishment. As I said before, exhortation, reprimand, and discipline are life and health. If they punish us, it is fair and earned by our rebellion to them." Virginio said, "You are right. We shall return to the house." Very early they awoke to leave, hearing the pretty songs of the birds in the forest. Virginio said, "I remember the morning we left our house and the pretty songs of the birds. For me, It is a new beginning in our lives this morning. Fernando felt the same. They left, and when crossing the street, Virginio looked at the old ranch and said, "Cursed ranch of lasciviousness." They continued walking for 3 hours when they encountered another road with a sign that read, "Large ranch seeking workers for a year's labor." Fernando said, "Don't even look at the sign of this temptation. Our only need is to be with our family, where we are going to." Continuing, walking more rapidly to arrive sooner. They arrived exactly at the supper hour. Their mother was serving supper to their father. Together, they stood in the entrance of the home, dirty, tattered clothing, hair and beard unkept, hungry and thirsty. With a sad voice, Fernando spoke, "Good evening, Father." Three times he spoke, and the third time the father said to his wife, "Someone spoke." She peered out to the entrance and said, "They are bad men, no doubt. Thieves, don't pay any attention to them." However, Virginio began to call more urgently, "Good evening, Father." The third time, the father told his faithful servant, "Go and see if you know these two people that are at the door. They sound like they are in trouble." When the servant drew close to the doorway, Fernando called out, "Father, open the door. We want to enter in on our knees." When the servant heard their voices, he told them to wait one moment. Moved with mercy toward the two young men, he went and spoke with the father. "These two are your sons, Fernando and Virginio Valencia." "What?" said the father. "How do you know?" The servant said, "By the two birthmarks they inherited from you." The father instructed his servant to let them enter. He went and opened the door and said, "You may enter." The son said, "Thank you, Father, for your love and mercy towards us." They entered and walked on their knees until they were at their father's side. They asked for forgiveness and told him about their poor conditions. The father recognized the marks on their faces. They confessed rebellion against his laws and rules of life, of his home and his ranch. They said, "We thought we were seeking freedom, but all we found was licentiousness. And that is what we are now. But we have learned that exhortation, reprimand, and discipline are life and health for all human beings. And we are ready to obey until death." The father told them to go and bathe themselves and tidy up. The servant took them and cut their hair and shaved their faces. And then they bathed and changed their clothes. Afterward, the servant led them to their father's room. He was moved with compassion, saying, "Now I recognize you. Truly, you are my sons. Not as you were when you arrived. You were disfigured. Now we can eat together." When they sat at the table, the father told his wife, "Look at our sons." And they embraced with tears of joy. After eating, their father gave them the keys to their rooms. They were happy to be with their wonderful family on a beautiful ranch where life and happiness exists. This is how they learned the saying, where did I come from? And where are we? Where did we come from? And where are we going to? As I've read through this parable many times through, each time I see more and more similarities to the plan of God. This great God who has a great ranch for us in heaven, who gives us a taste of it here, who created us in his likeness and image, who's given us commandments that if we live by it, we'll have joy. And often we're tempted by the devil that freedom is doing what we want to do instead of what God has commanded us to do. And we're tempted. We're tempted. Oh, it's a better life. This will make me happy. And so we leave his way. And we find that it's not better, that it's unhappy, and that we need him. A few thoughts from the parable. Doing what I want to do is perceived as liberty or freedom, but Scripture teaches us that sin is captivity. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we have these commandments, the will of God, his word to tell us what to do. And if we don't do it, it is sin. And sin is captivity. If each member of the body of Christ does what they want, the result is chaos. It's not a body working together for one purpose. On the Father's ranch, everything was in order. The sons had everything they needed and didn't know it. Often we don't recognize all that we have as children of God until we give it up and choose captivity, sin. Exhortation, reprimand, and discipline are all gifts of God to lead us where we want to go, eternal life. We're often reprimanded when we read the Word of God because we know we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, but it gives us the guide to begin doing it. We're reprimanded by our brothers and sisters when they're guided by God to come to us and speak to us when we're not doing what we should be doing. And that's a gift of God. The sons were washed and cleaned up after they had repented, just as we are baptized after we repent. We're baptized when we're willing to obey our Father. Just as they were willing to obey their Father until death, we have a determination to serve Christ to the end when we're baptized. A couple definitions. When the sons were leaving the ranch, one of them turned and said, cursed ranch of lasciviousness. I looked that word up. We also saw it in Galatians chapter 5. Lasciviousness is wantonness, which means negligence of restraint. I don't restrain my own will. When I don't restrain my own will, I am being lascivious. So, When the son turned around and looked at that ranch, he recognized it was not freedom, but it was negligence of restraint. Everybody did what they wanted to do. Rather than his father's ranch, contrary to his father's ranch, where everyone did what the Father said. And there was joy there, whereas at this ranch, there was chaos and unhappiness. Licentiousness. This is also from 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. Excessive indulgence of liberty. Contempt of the just restraints of law. Very similar to that word lasciviousness. It's once again doing what you want to do. And being against law and rules. Ask yourself, where did I come from? And where am I going to? When you are tempted to get angry with someone who has hurt you, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? When you are guided by the Holy Spirit to witness to a stranger, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? In other words, when we're tempted to do wrong, ask yourself. When we're guided to do right, ask yourself, what do I want to do? Do I want to, when I'm tempted, heed the temptation and go to death or eternal life? When I'm guided by the Holy Spirit, do I want to not obey and go to death, or do I want to obey and have eternal life? When you're tempted to take a second look at someone that is not your spouse, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? When you feel led to feed someone who is hungry, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? When you are tempted to gossip, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? When you are presented the opportunity to love another, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? Each choice you are presented with, ask yourself, where did I come from and where am I going to? And choose liberty and eternal life.